Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
You know, the fact is, I love this game. The fact is that I drove my sorry self 3/4 of the way across this country, and I was sore when I got here. My hips were killing me. My back was sore. My knees hurt. I ate junk all the way here. But the truth is this, is that we came to help steward a revival and usher in an awakening that will be spoken about for generations. And what I want to break off even now is the fear of talking about revival and the fear of talking about an awakening, because we believe that it's just something that God sovereignly does. How about this? How about when we allow the Lord to awaken us, His body, His bride, and we go out and we go into the world and we begin to show and reproduce Christ and represent Christ to the earth, and they begin to see and they begin to witness and they come alive. They wake up to what's going on. How about this? How about it's our responsibility to get everything that we can from these moments so that we can go out and we can impart it into the world? How about we rethink church? How about we realign our hearts to realize that it's not about us? I had this young lady who we had teaching at just a session at one of our youth camps, and she had not taught before, and we weren't afraid of this kind of thing. So we asked her, like, hey, listen, come and teach. We want to hear your testimony. We want to hear what God's been doing. And she asked me this. She asked me, well, what do you want me to teach on? And I said to her these words. I said, the ones that you minister to will be the ones that fight beside you. How would you equip them? If we knew that I was only as strong as the one that was standing beside me in battle, how would that change the way I think? How would that change the way I receive? How would that change the way I impart? What I love about this house is it's a house that bears with a brother. It runs alongside one to strengthen them. Not because you can get something out of their lives, but they have something to give back to your life. God is opening up a opportunity to see things that we've dreamt of seeing in this country. And there's a culture that has been created in this house, not because of a man, not because of a woman, but because the responsibility has been taken seriously by each and every one of us that has said, I have a part to play in this. Listen, we had the incredible opportunity to stand over the open foundation of our home yesterday. Not even the walls are up. They just poured the footings. And yeah, praise the Lord. Listen. He wants to play the game, but let me tell you, there's nothing but love that's happening in that house. Every morning he comes down to my room, just say, baby, I'm just so glad you're here, baby. Whatever, man. Haters gonna hate, right? It's all good. It's all good. Listen, there are four strong personalities, that's not including the children, that are living under one roof, and it's only by the Lord. It's been fun, man. It's been fun. But listen, we got the opportunity to stand over our foundation with just the footings in the ground, staring at all the, you know, man. And we were told that this is going to be a season of reward. Listen, there were doors that I opened up myself. There were doors that were opened up on me without me even knowing, but just a season of relief and reward. And we stood over that open foundation and prayed, God, we are here for the awakening. And may this house play but a part in it. Listen, community doesn't stop when we walk out of this building. You are community. You are kingdom. So that means not only do you get to take what comes out of this house home, you get to have what the Lord is imparting into you in your home. And as you open the doors of your home, like the doors of this church being open, people can come in and see freedom. They can see healing. They can receive word. They can give word. Our homes are our altars. These are the places that we set up because of who we are. Culture is just a result of consistent behavior. It's who I am here. It's who I am at home. It's who I am around my friends, my family. It's who I am. There's a culture that's not only created in me, but a culture that's created in this house. That's why people can pray over their celiac disease with nobody laying hands on them and then realize there has been a significant shift in my life. It's why we get to witness the things that we're witnessing in this, and we have not seen anything yet. We haven't even witnessed the fullness of what God wants to do. I'm telling you right now, we did not sow in vain. None of us have sown in vain. Every dollar amount, every moment, every day, every second that you've sown into this, you will reap full reward for through salvations in your home. I don't even know where I'm going right now. But listen to this. Not many of you know, in 2012, I lost my father to cancer. And in 2006, I remember the day and I remember where I was and I remember how it sounded when I heard it. The Lord asked me, Listen, how many of you love Shredder Shulhan? Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to be straight up. She can be mad at me if she wants, but Aaron married up. Amen. Look at, but guess who's not rejoicing? Chris is like, oh, dude, I'm in trouble. Yeah, Chris is going to die, son. Anyway, okay, we need some intercessors to cover Chris this afternoon. Anybody? All right, bless you. Anyway.
Wow. We love you too, Eric.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not even going to go. I am going to go there. I fully believe when we... They always say, man, Mondays don't suck. Your job does. Every day I walk into this office, it's just a joy to be here, man. Because what you see is what you get. This is what it is. We love the Lord and we love each other, and it's hilarious, man. And anytime you want to stop in and get a part of it, we're not paying you. You can work volunteer status. Jay Hardy's been hanging out long enough, you know, or he's still volunteer. Anyway. But in 2006, I remember standing there. We were in a conference and in worship, and this is when I was praying for my dad. I was saved in 98. My dad, we weren't a church family, but I was praying for my dad. You know, that was my goal. He was my guy. Praying for his salvation, and the Lord asked me. And then up to that point, it was all ministry. It was just ministry, ministry, ministry. I was working with my dad at that time. He had expressed his interest in me coming in to buy into the company and sit in his chair one day. And I told him no. And the Lord asked me, he asked me this question specifically. He said, are you willing to lay down your life for your father to come to know me? And my immediate response was yes, not knowing if it was a physical death. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew that this was, my goal was my father coming to know him. Fast forward to 2011, things had turned. His health had gotten, his health had deteriorated for some reason. We didn't know why. I had bought, at that point, I was bought into the company. You know, the Lord, what the laying down was me coming in to the company, laying down my desire for full-time ministry and just going with there just to minister to him. Every day, got to see my dad, every day. every day. Just, it didn't matter if it was a smile, a good morning, it didn't matter. I just got to see him every day, and every day he got prayed for. And in 2012, he passed, but that was April, he passed. But in March, I'm laying in bed, and I was just so, I wasn't confused. You know, when you get in that place, you just have questions. You know, what's going on here? And I'm praying for his healing. And I remember it was so dark in my room, but it was so bright in the same moment. Heather was sleeping and I was just laying on my side and I was praying for him. I said, Lord, just would you heal him? And this is what the Lord said to me. This is why it's so important that you need to hear the voice of God. He said, I am not going to heal him. I was like, okay. I mean, I've trusted God to this point. I'm not going to heal him. But then he said, but his salvation is still on the table. So Easter weekend, 4 days, I didn't know it was 4 days, but 4 days before he passed, we had a major conversation. And I implored him that he needed to trust in God. But he opened the conversation when he said to me, remember, he's laying on his side. He could barely move at this point. And he said, son, the Lord, he works in mysterious ways. I said, Dad, I really need you to trust Jesus. I really need you to trust Jesus. And I believe that through the hard times, through the times of waiting, you, those of you who weren't here at 9 o'clock, Maria has written a beautiful song talking about in the times of waiting, I will remain there with my lamp full of oil. That the intimacy that has been credited to my account, I want that to be called upon one day, you know. In times of struggle, I still want there to be intimacy. In times of joy and of peace, I still want there to be intimacy. And I believe it was because of the intimacy and the placement that I had Jesus in my life that God fulfilled, you know, the desire of my heart and to see him come through. And this is the hour that we're living in. I fully believe it. There's been such a culture created in this house that I believe that we could ask God for anything in this moment and it will surely come to pass. Maybe not in our timing, but in God's timing. And that's personally and that's corporately. That's why I believe we're seeing just the beginning of the miracles of healing, of signs, of things that are happening. I believe that with all of my heart, and I'm not afraid to talk about it, and we can't be afraid to talk about it, because this is a reviving of our spirits, and the reviving of our spirits becomes an awakening in Edmonton and beyond. It's no longer about me striving to live holy and me striving for a word for somebody. It's not no longer for me to strive about these things, but it's for me to remain in the fullness of God and allow his fullness to pour over me. It's a constant submittal. It's a constant submittal to the will of God and a surrendering of heart to his, to listen and hear what he's speaking and what he's saying. It's about returning to the placement of the church becoming the most influential institution on the face of the earth, where politicians walk in our door and into our offices to ask advice on what they should do in passing of a bill or making new laws. It's doctors coming to us saying, we've never seen this before. Do you have any word on this? Do you know what we should be looking for and what we should be doing? It's about servicemen and servicewomen coming here and saying, what can we do to prevent crime in this area? Could you come and put an outreach there? Because we know how vital you are. How many are with me?
So good, man.
It's about our door being knocked upon again to be asked what we think and if we have a word for it or if we could bless it. That's why I'm so... Listen, as a Canadian, I'm looking at the United States right now, and I'm so envious for what they have, a president who's willing to open his door to the prophets and the worship leaders. This says, come in, because I know this is greater than I am. Say what you will. I don't care what you have to say. He's not even my president. I just love him. We had this, what time is it? You know what, y'all are good. I want to talk about culture. I want to talk about us. I want to talk about what's going on. I want to talk about what's happening. I want to talk about what's about to happen. I want to talk about everything. I want to talk about what's going on in my life and my wife's life and my children's lives. I want to talk to you about the things that I miss and the things that I'm looking forward to. Do you know what I miss? That I'm beginning to see? Just worship in a place that nobody cares what they look like while they worship. I'm watching men who struggled a year ago lift their hands before the Lord in submission. I'm watching women who know they have a gifting, yet have rallied against using their gifting because it's been abused, use their gifting for God, and seeing incredible freedom not only in them but through them. Seeing youth rise up in a passion and a boldness like I've not seen in years. And it's all because of the willingness we have to surrender. Say surrender. And yield to the voice of God. And in the first service, I just taught a little on the vital church of Acts chapter 2 and how they were used greatly. So great that it says that each day, say each day, the Lord added to the church that those that were being saved. Could you imagine? Could you imagine having like a lunchtime meeting with one of the leaders here and they can't leave because there's seven people in the lobby that are just giving their lives over to Christ? And they're doing everything they can to minister and disciple and get them discipled. Could you imagine having that problem? I want to imagine having that problem. Listen, imagination is greater than experience. It's time we start dreaming again. It's time we start dreaming again. It's time that we start dreaming God's dream and we begin to see what He sees. Could you imagine, but for one, we couldn't handle it. Our hearts would explode if for one moment we stepped in to the mind of God and we saw what He actually saw. When He said to John, come up here, could you imagine being John, being like, hello, here I go. And what He witnessed in that prophetic vision, in that prophetic dream, could you imagine stepping into the mind of God and seeing what He sees? Or could it be that that's what He wants us to see? Could it be with the declaration that we put out over our finances, we begin to declare an awakening in Edmonton, that we begin to declare a revival in our church, and the church is up 50 and down 50 and all over Edmonton, because we know we're not the answer. We are just a part to what's about to happen in this city. Never once have we claimed that we are the answer to this city. We are an answer to the city. Jesus said it this way. And this is why it's so important for us just to kind of, I want to say this to you, but you have to be careful with how you receive it. We have to read the word with an open mind. Because there are things that are fully implied in the word that aren't written down verbatim, but it's implied. And when I read Mark chapter 16, 14 to 20, I see this as the denomination that Jesus came for, that Jesus came to equip, and that Jesus died for and poured His Spirit out upon, and it's those who believe. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, let me read it to you. Later, He appeared to the 11 and as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had been seen, who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. I've heard it taught many ways. Some people teach those who believe in my name. I think those who believe is sufficient enough because next, he goes here. He says, in my name, under my authority, by my blessing, by my leading, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They will drink, or if they take up serpents, they will drink serpents. That'd be crazy. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And then verse 19 says this. So then, say so then.
So then.
What happens? Listen, some of us received miraculous things last week, whether it be our healing, whether it be a word, whether it be a financial miracle. It doesn't matter. If the Lord kisses it, it's amazing. I don't care if he healed you of the hiccups or he healed you of celiac disease. Come on. Listen, if Moses could be satisfied with seeing the tail end of God, we could be satisfied with whatever he has. But what has to happen now is there has to be so then. That's great. Celiac disease was taken care of. So what? What are we going to do now? What's the next step? Where am I going? What am I doing? Beautiful lady was healed miraculously last week. Where are you? I know you're here. I saw you. Where are you? You're jumping up and down on the stage. Oh, yeah, come on. Oh, that one. Yeah, that was me. Listen, what was it again? No, yeah, your name, what's your name? Yeah. Yeah, how many people have heard this story? Yeah, come on. See, that's the so then. Listen. Jesus comes back. He says, here's what's going to happen, guys. Though anybody who believes in my name, these are the things that they're going to walk in. This is the authority that they're going to walk in. And then they had a decision to make, just like we do. So then what? Well, if it was old Peter, he'd say, you know what, guys, I don't know what to do at this point. Let's go fishing. That's what he would say. Jesus is like, whoa. I never remember when I came. I never called you a fisherman. I called you a fisher of men. You're going to go out and you're going to cast a net and you're going to bring in a reward that is for my glory. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to the heaven and he sat down on the right hand, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, say working with them, and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. Let it be. It's settled. We are that denomination. We are those who believe. We are the ones that the authority is resting upon to go and fulfill the work that Jesus began. These are the things that God wants to get out of his house. Last week, we talked about things that God wants to see, the manifestations of God's church, of his bride. Now, what's he wanting to do with that? What's he wanting to do with that? He says, I want to show the world me. And I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to represent myself to the world, and I'm going to do it through you. You thought you were just representing Christ, but he's representing himself to the world. It's only a little wordplay. I mean, but you can wow it if you want. Bless you. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what this means? Listen. You know what this means? Oh, there she is, man. I missed you so much. Hold on to it, guys. Actually, you know what? Let it go. If it's got to go, let it go. So, here's the thing. So, here's the deal. As we understand this, I'm going to just call it out. I'm going to declare that today all striving ceases. I'll make that declaration. You can receive it. You don't have to receive it, but I would encourage you to receive it. All striving. God created you to be who you are. He didn't create Jay to be me and me to be Jay. He didn't create me to be Ty and Ty to be me. This is the deal that we. This is what we get. We don't. This house does not need two Chris Mathises. And it doesn't need two Jamie Pattons. Trust me. That would be four of us. That'd be tough for us. Like for us. Just have you ever dealt with yourself? Like you see a personality come through the door and you're like, dude, that's me and I can't stand him. Woo. Listen, we had this young man come into our youth group and I wanted to slaughter him because he was like me at that age. And I'm like, dude, I can't stand that kid. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But God put genuine giftings in you. He put a personality in you so that he could work through you, through that personality and through those giftings. No more striving. It's just a full-on surrender and yielding. Well, what's that look like? It looks about it. It looks like this. Every moment, it's Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I'm just gonna settle in here. I'm just gonna chill out. I'm just gonna hang in. I'm gonna linger a little longer here until you begin to do something. Listen, the way you worship will change. The way you approach God will change. The way you rest will change. But then what you see through that mode and through that posture will be the things that you've dreamt of, the things that you see other people doing and asking God, why can't I do that? I want to be the guy who raises the dead. That's what I want to be. Listen, that should be on all of our hearts, but I have a ministry bucket list. If you can have a life bucket list, I make a ministry one. I'm like, raise the dead. That's like number one. I don't think I have anything else on the list. That's just it. But I really want to get through this. I really want to get through as much as I can. Acts chapter 2, in verse 40. Says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this wicked and perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That means in absolute peace and absolute rest. There was no striving. They were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know why? Because the header of this section of my Bible says a vital church grows. And beside that, I wrote the word trustworthy. Listen, they were trustworthy. Why? Because they had the kingdom at the forefront of their mind. Whether they could put language to it or not, they knew what had happened. They knew what had been imparted. They might not have had a full understanding of what was going on, but they knew for some reason, we love people different. For some reason, we receive people different. And what we want to do is we want to equip them in such a way that if we had to go to battle, and when we go to battle, they would be strong enough to be our support and watch over us. Because I'm not going to, listen, how many of you in high school had that friend who couldn't fight but always picked the fights? No, I wasn't that guy, dude. I was the guy. I'll go any one of you right now. Listen, you know what they say? Bigger they are, the harder they fall, baby. Be a good old-fashioned David and Goliath up in here. Anyway, listen, I'm trying to be serious. Nathan, you good back there? Yeah, you're like, he's just chilling. Hey, he's just chilling back here. He's like James from Jimmy Fallon, just chilling. Anyway, I don't even know where I was going. I was being serious. Y'all aren't letting me though. There's no striving at all, trust me. I'm not a striver. Don't ask my wife because she'll say, dude, he's not a striver at all. It's just, I mean, the garbage, it just stays there. He just prays it out the door, you know? That's why I had sons. You know what I mean? Take the garbage, you know? Bless the Lord. I honestly think I'm intoxicated right now, but time out. Listen, the Lord entrusted these souls to the church. I'm going to just preach. You can laugh all you want. I'm just going to go for it because this is a good word. This is a good word. The Lord entrusted the souls I promise, if you give me 5 minutes, I'll ask for another 5 minutes, okay? And that's it. 10 minutes total, and I'll have this knocked out. You ready? Okay. The Lord saw the birth of this church, and he smiled upon it, and he kissed it, and he thought, you know what? I can entrust anything to these because they'll care for them. They'll watch over them. They're not going to use it for selfish gain. And listen, we're seeing it in this house. And whether it be that you were saved in this house or you visited this house and you thought, man, there's family there. If I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say to me, it feels like family here, I would be an incredibly rich man. And that's not just something that said, hey, we're going to act like family in here and everybody's going to be a family. It's a culture. And this is what was going on here. And I fully believe that the Lord is smiling down on this house. And he's saying, I can entrust this house with anything. And I'm going to continue to pour in souls. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, that the church was feared. And if you refer to Deuteronomy chapter 18, 21 and 22, it talks about a prophet. If a prophet speaks a word and it doesn't come to pass, don't fear him. And could it be that the people saw the church and the things that they spoke about were coming to pass and they thought, there is power to the things that they're saying. There is an action that follows the words that they're declaring, the words that they're saying, the things that they profess. Is there an action that follows? And if so, I like this. But guess what? This is serious business. We can laugh, listen, we can laugh our heads off all day long. And I love laughing. I love playing around. I love messing around. I love everything about it. But at the core of my being, I know that he is the source of my laughter. He is the source of my joking. He is the source of the fun. And I don't believe they were sticklers. I don't believe they were prudes. I don't believe they were stick in the mud, man. I believe they had a great, I believe that Jesus was the greatest practical joker to ever walk the face of the earth. I even have stupid pictures of him tying Peter's shoe sandals together. Come on, that's funny. Listen, you can have that one. Bless you. But then I want to ask you this question, and I want you to answer it truthfully, and it's gonna pertain to the church corporately. But I want you to ask yourself, because we're gonna hit on you. Are we a vital church in a day where the world needs the church vitally? Are we a vital church in a day where the church or the world needs the church vitally? Listen, I know what I'm seeing. And I know what the Lord has shared with me about our house. And it's not something that Pastor Chris can get up every week and say, listen, we're going to remain family. It's something that's cultivated, and it's something that cultivates in your heart. It's things that you say that you live this life. Says, I'm a vital believer in a day where the world needs a believer vitally. I want to be part of the revealing of the sons of God. I want to be the one that they get and they grab when there's a need. Listen, the church in Acts went from chapter 2 to being feared to chapter 5 being vital, or to being esteemed or magnified. There was just such an awe of the church that people stood back and said, oh my gosh. We can't join ourselves to them because everything that they're doing goes against everything that I know to do. And if I go into that, I will surely die because I'm an unclean person. But the Lord continued to pour out and to add. because they were still trustworthy. They didn't become so big that they were untouchable. They became so big and were still reachable and still reached out. That's why it's so important that we get with this man right here. Ty, stand to your feet for a second. It is the second most thankless position in any ministry, and that's evangelism. First is intercession. Man, you have a prophetic conference, a place to be packed out. You have a conference on evangelism, nobody comes because everybody's afraid to do it. But this is a reaching out, a going out. Because I don't know about you at this moment. The world's not knocking down our doors to get in here. That's why we need to knock and get out of here. Nobody wants to get out of the church more than the Holy Spirit. But he added and he added and he added. Listen, when I see this house, I see us as a vital house to this earth, to this world. And these are the things that I find in this house, that God is getting out of this house, that he is sending from this house. The first and foremost is the early church was planted on praise and prayer. They were planted on praise and prayer. Jesus said it this way. He said, listen, you're going to go back and you're going to go to the place that we were and you're going to wait there. And you're gonna wait there until you are endued with power from on high. I'm gonna send my promise to you. So you go back and wait. And they just didn't go back there and argue about what was going on. They prayed together. They aligned their hearts. They brought themselves into a place where it was good soil for the Spirit to be poured out upon. And I believe with everything in me that there were 500 people that had the opportunity to go back and 120 people that ended up there. And if it tarried longer than 10 days, there would have been at least three that stayed the entire time. If it was 3 years, Peter, James, and John, because they knew the character of Christ. They knew Christ. They were the ones that were closest to him and knew that if we're here, we're here for a reason. And this is what I'm seeing from our house is the ability and the wanting to just linger a little longer. Hang in there. And I picture Peter being the steward of those days, and he's just talking to everybody, encouraging everybody. Guys, let's just press in. Let's just stay in it for a minute. Let's just stay in it. And day four, everybody's like, Peter, you're crazy, man. Maybe you weren't as changed as we thought you were. You're just still that guy who acts before thinking, and we're still here. And day five, day six, day seven, they're like, Peter, what in the world is going on? Even James, you know, at that point, you know, Thomas is doubting something. Come on, somebody. Like, dude, what are we doing? It's not happening. And I always picture this, Peter on day nine, just looking at them and say, guys, let's give it one more day. Could you imagine you pulled the chute a day early before your deliverance or before your healing, before God wanted to do something? Could you imagine if you got so frustrated? There's a power in lingering, in praise and in prayer. So I don't know who that is today, but I'm just going to encourage you, linger one more day. Give it another day. See what God's going to do tomorrow. Let's see what God's going to do in the next moment. Amen? A vital church is birthed upon praise and prayer. A vital church, listen, this is my favorite one because this is what I see coming out of this house in a violent fashion. A vital church will grow sons and daughters who are so pure in heart and who are so full of identity that they don't think it's beneath them to serve tables, but they don't think it's above them to go and heal the sick and open blind eyes. Listen, man, that young lady was healed not by a pastor. She was healed not by an elder. She was healed not by anybody on the worship team, but by our greeters in the lobby. The spirit of Stephen was all over those greeters, and they thought, you know what? We're not going to wait. It's not on us to wait. We don't even feel comfortable letting her wait until the time of healing comes or when they open the altars. We're just going to get it done right here. And I might be a greeter, but I'm full of the Holy Spirit, man. And I might be a greeter, but that just means I'm the first point of contact into this house. So let's get her done right now. Come on, man. Listen, I just release all of you greeters and all of you ushers to lay hands on every sick person you see coming into this building. The that they feel secure, so secure in who they are, whether they're back with the children or cleaning washrooms, whether they're in the sound booth, that they know who they are in Christ. And this might be what I do, but it's not who I am. I'm going to lay hands whenever I can lay hands, and I'm going to do what only He can do through me. They'll grow sons and daughters. Listen, unity is key. And this is where the whole message actually started out from, if you could believe it. Because of what I witnessed last weekend, what we all witnessed last weekend, man, unity is key. And it's often overlooked in the early church. God comes down and He kisses and He blesses unity. How unity just flows so naturally, and how things are able to flow so naturally when there's unity in the house. Man, I said it in the first service, I'll say it in the second service. I mean, when you can watch your pastor get down and do the windmill, and you're just praying and interceding for him not to break a hip. But he can get up off of that floor and you still see him as pastor. Not as buddy, not as bro. Not as what's up, man. No, it's what's up, pastor. I know that you tried to do the windmill. We'll get you some cardboard next time. It'll flow a little easier.
You did the worm and it didn't look so great.
Listen, I hurt myself. I hurt myself in three spots. I'm not going to tell you where the spots are, but one was my toe. One was my toe, stubbed my big toe. The other was my knee. Third one was my pride. Listen, man. You can read Psalm 133 on your own, but I want to give you these four quick points on how God views harmony. Harmonious relationships attract and manifest the very presence of Yahweh. He comes and He kisses it. He absolutely kisses it. Man, they were there. They were unified. And it's the majority because they were unified that the Lord saw them trustworthy enough to handle the souls that they did. Because it wasn't about who was doing what, who was fulfilling what work, who got to speak this Sunday, who got to speak next Sunday. It didn't matter. As long as the people were being fed and discipled, that's all that mattered to them. There was a preferring of one another in that early church that was, and we're seeing it here. Two, you got to read the psalm to get this, but oil, as he talks about oil is so important. This is talking about how important unity is to God. Oil is and was used to ordain him or her for their office. And this, it refers to Aaron in this psalm. It's as important to him as the dew that flows off Mount Hermon, because it was a snow-capped and beautiful mountain that was perfect for moisture and for refreshing. You know what refreshing unity is? How many of you have a unified relationship with somebody or some people that you're just like, man, I can't wait to be back in their presence because there's such a likeness of heart and we're so unified. And the blessing itself is Yahweh's life-giving power, a guarantee of His provision and protection secured by His presence. And that dance party that we had last weekend, you know, some of y'all have moves that never shared them with us. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord's going to get you with the spirit of dance. And we're going to open the altar. Yeah, listen. Jay Hardy, your wife is selling you out something fierce right now. But that dance party that we had, those of you who missed out on it, listen, it'll be not never be recreated, but it will happen again. But that will grow a house quicker than any extended service. There's a breaking down of everything in those moments, man, where you just know and learn to laugh with one another and learn to celebrate one another. I mean, we were calling people out who couldn't dance. We just loved it. Even when they couldn't dance, you know, dancing around with two left feet. I won't mention any names, Becky Newhook, but anyway. They're going away for 2 weeks, so I'm safe. I'll just block her number on my phone. You're like, bless her. Mike, cover me, please, son. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And I'm going to wrap up here real soon. Acts 2, 46 says, if she's talking trash about me back there, I can't hear, but I hear the giddiness. So I'll just, bless her, Lord. I just want to remain unified in my heart. Want is replaced by desire. So continuing daily in one accord and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And it says that each one of them sold their possessions. Could you imagine if we were so moved by the Spirit of God? And we have a lot of stuff. You have a lot of stuff. But could you imagine if we were so moved that we sold everything that we had so that we made sure everybody had enough? This is where they were. Want was replaced by desire. The desire for somebody else to grow replaced their want for things and for time. Replaced their want for the things that satisfied them. And their desire turned to everybody else. How can I help everybody else in this room? How can I help my brother? How can I help my sister? How can I help them get to the place that they need to be? Want was replaced by desire. This is what God sees, I believe, coming out of this house. The vital church. Favor. Favor is granted to a vital church. I believe favor is being granted to this house. Favor in relationship. Man, favor is... favor and finances. Listen, this is going to be the year of you pouring out more than you ever have and receiving more than you ever have. Listen, it doesn't matter what it looks like to God. It doesn't matter what the economics of this world look like. God can bless his children any way that he wants to. So you look at your statement and you say, oh my gosh, we gave more than we ever have, but look at our account. It's overflowing. Let's do it again. People will ask, how in the world did they start coming to your church? Do you know who they are? And do you know what they've done? Yeah, guess what? And the Lord has entrusted them to us to raise up and to send back out. My gosh, here we go. She is called upon in a time of need. She is called upon in a time of need, and she knows exactly what to do. The account of Tabitha and Peter. Tabitha was so important to the community. You know why? Because she took care of the needs of the people. She went by Dorcas. Paulina, why? I was in a flow, man. But Tabitha had died. Dorcas had died. And they thought, this is the first thing they thought of. After they washed her, they said, listen, we know Peter's in the next town. Go get him. Because he'll know what to do. And Peter shows up on scene and just like Jesus did, walks into the room, sees everybody weeping and everybody sorrowful and everybody mourning this death. And he says to them, you guys need to get out of here. He wasn't being rude. He was just stating the fact. All you're doing is promoting death in this room. And what I need promoted is life. And none of y'all are seeing this. Not mad at you, not angry. It's just state of fact. And what does he do? He doesn't listen. Listen, he learned his lesson years before because of the young epileptic man who he couldn't heal. And Jesus pulled him aside and said, listen, only this type is by prayer and fasting. This type will only come out by prayer and fasting. He learned that. He didn't stay in that moment and just pray and fast for 30 minutes, you know. He was prepared and ready. And God saw him trustworthy enough to walk into that situation, pray, kneel down beside her, and whisper in her ear, listen, I'm done shouting at my disease, and I'm done shouting at my sickness, and I'm done shouting at the prodigals, and I'm done shouting at the darkness, and I'm just going to kneel and I'm going to pray a simple prayer that says, Tabitha, arise. Listen, when you know who you are in Christ and you know the power that's invested in you, you can stay there and you can whisper a prayer that is so powerful, it brings life back to a dead body. She's called upon in a time of need and she knows exactly what to do. She's always in the thick of things. Come on. How many of you love getting in the middle of chaos? I'll tell you what, man. Years ago, we went downtown, took Ryan. She was a lot younger at this point. And we just took her out. We usually did take a child out, you know, by ourselves, either Heather or myself or both of us. And this time we had Ryan. I can't remember what it was for, but we went downtown, man, our old stomping grounds. And there was a fight that broke out. And I wasn't worried about who I was with. I ran right to the middle of that thing. It's just my nature. I'm a protector now. It's not that I wanted to fight. I'm protecting. So I got to find out who's in the wrong first, and then I got to protect them so I'm not knocking out the wrong guy. You know, right, Des? Listen, that's listen, you.
My money's still on Des.
Yeah. Money could be on Des all you want. I got the Lord. Man, we got to get through this. People want to get home and eat. It's all right. But I jump out of bed Sunday mornings to get here. Because I know when we get here, it's going to be a blast. But if for a moment you thought this was your existence in the kingdom, you're wrong. Because God is going to put you in the thick of things. He's going to put you in situations that are so sticky, you're going to need Jesus to get out. Come on, somebody. You're going to get in places. You're going to be the mediator in places where you never thought you had the equipping to be the mediator. You're going to get in there. Listen, man, I'm a physical guy. I love physical things. Man, if there's a fight, I'm running to it. I'm not running from it because I want to fix that thing which is unfixed right now. And that's what God is about to do in and through this house. Why? Because we're trustworthy. Say, trust me, Lord. Last but not least, I read one account this morning. I'm going to read the other one. A Vital Church, I'm just going to insert the Summit, our house, sees real conversions. We see real conversions. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. And if you're in here today and you don't have, listen, if you've never had a relationship with Christ or you have allowed that relationship to just grow apart, if you've grown apart in any intimacy with Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to step around. I'm going to step right in it. You need to get back. You need Christ in your life because nothing else is going to work. And you're only here today because nothing else has worked. You came back in today because nothing's been working. You knew him once and you knew what you felt and you want to get back to that place. Just do it, man. Quit it. Just surrender. Say, Lord, today I'm done. I'm done running. I'm done striving. I believe you're the Son of God and I believe you died for me. So take everything that I've been doing away from me and give me nothing but you. Let your heart be rekindled by his fire. It's real conversion. Let it happen. Let him work. Let me read this to you and usher or altar team, you can come on up and just be ready to receive the people. Why don't we stand as we read this? They see real conversions. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons, which were brought from his body to the sick and the diseases, they were brought to the people who were sick and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were exercising evil spirits. We exorcise you, they said, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped out of them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the Jews, Greeks, dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord was magnified. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of them who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Listen, done are the days in this house where we pray a simple prayer and believe that his work is done. I declare that the day is coming where the conversions will be so radical that possessions, things that had been holding them back for years and for decades, will be laid at this altar so that we could do nothing else but to stomp on them and burn the hell out of them. Y'all didn't get that, because that's pretty exciting to me. Where addicts come in and they lay down their needles. Where alcoholics come in and they throw down their bottles. Those are the conversions that we want. Those are the conversions that we're contesting for, we're contending for. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're set to do. And Lord, we declare that today we stand as the vital church. Lord, we stand as the appointed ones to run into chaos and to see the real conversions. Yes, real conversions. Bless the Lord.